So I kind of struggled this week. This week kind of crept up on me a little bit. I knew that I was speaking for Ignite, but life is crazy and busy. I've been in Coshocton the last few days working on a 100-plus-year-old house, gutting it, getting it ready for some renovation that we're doing over the next week to help my father-in-law out. And I just was drawing a blank on, man, what do I need to speak on? What do I need to speak on? What's God calling me to speak on? I had to pick songs early in the week. Actually, I picked them last week because Brian knew that they would be dealing with a funeral this week, and his life was crazy, and he asked if I could get him to him early. And so usually when I speak, I like to theme my songs to the message that I was giving. And I woke up early this morning because I had to drive to my new job to sign my contract there. And then I knew I was coming home to sit down and really, really focus on my message for tonight. Because this is really the first time I've had in about a week and a half or so where I could sit down and focus on it. And then it hit me, well, maybe that's what I should talk about. Focus, fixing our focus. Throw up that next picture there, if you would. There it is. Anybody feel sick yet? That's going to stay up there the whole time. That's fantastic. That's really bad on a big screen, isn't it? Ooh, don't stare too long. So I want to talk about focus tonight, and fixing our focus. I know it's kind of dark up here. How many can you see what's up here? What's up here? Eyeglasses. How many of you wear eyeglasses or contacts by show of hands? A couple three of you. All right. To quote my late grandfather, a couple three of you. So how many of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night and you wanted to see what time it was? And you rolled over and you looked at the blurry alarm clock / cell phone and you're doing one of these numbers to try and see if it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock, because if it's 5 o'clock, that's bad, right? Anybody ever do that? Yeah? Yeah, I understand. Now, most of you have probably never seen me wear glasses. And if you've seen me wear glasses, it's kind of a rare thing. I have a medical condition called corneal dystrophy. In 2006, when I was preparing to go overseas for a deployment, we had to get an entire gamut of immunizations because we were going to a place that is just filthy and there's lots of disease in the Middle East that we're not used to here in the United States. And one of the things that I had to be vaccinated for was smallpox. Any of you are older than like 45 or so, I would say, probably at this point, you probably had to have the smallpox vaccination as a kid. Patty? All right. So my litmus paper there, that's what it is. So did you have a nice little scar from it? You do? I do too. It's right under Jesus' eye on my tattoo. So we had to get the smallpox vaccination, and I got the smallpox vaccination, and later that evening, I started to feel really, really bad. And then about 6 hours later, I was completely blind. I had an allergic reaction to the smallpox vaccination. I went blind for 3 days. It's such a rare reaction. 0.1% of 1% of the population has the potential to have that reaction. It wasn't even listed in the big, if you've ever dealt with medications, you pull out the little pamphlet, and it looks like a receipt from Kroger's, you know, with 50 million things on it. It's not even listed as one of the potential side effects. They had to call the manufacturer of the drug, and they said, oh, yeah, that's so rare, we don't even put it on there. Lucky me. Right? Should have played the lottery that day. Didn't. Went blind instead, and literally lost my focus, lost my sight for 3 days. And it wasn't like, if you think about going blind, you just think about closing your eyes and everything's black. Well, for me, it was the opposite. Everything was just white. I became extremely, extremely photosensitive. So in a pitch black room with my eyeballs open, if somebody 20 feet away from me struck a match, it would be excruciating. All right? Just really, really photosensitive. And because of that, my corneas have permanent damage. I have this condition called corneal dystrophy, which will continue to degrade. Sometimes I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, and my eyelid has stuck to my cornea. And when I open my eye, it rips a chunk of my cornea off as a side effect of that corneal dystrophy. So I have lots of scar tissue and things. And one of the other side effects is, depending on the amount of salt and water intake that I have on a particular day, my corneas will wrinkle. They'll sort of detach and shrivel a little bit. And so I have to wear glasses that day. I wake up, as I say, I wake up blurry. Most days I'm perfectly fine. Maybe one day every other week or so I'll wake up. And then I get to run through this gamut, because when your eyes aren't the same and you have a condition that changes your eyes, you get to have different prescriptions. I have 6 different prescriptions from the Army that they have given me. And when I wake up blurry, I literally try on 6 different pairs of glasses to find the one that's closest to normal vision. Sometimes I'll put a pair on, then I'll put another pair on about an inch away, and I'll actually have really good vision, but I'm not going to walk around like that all day. So I just go partially blurry that day and end up with a headache by the time I get home from work or whatever. So these are some of my lovely glasses, and just like Superman, right? You put the glasses on, and I become Clark Kent, right? I look completely different. My persona changes. I become more intelligent, evidently, right? That's people with glasses, you're more intelligent, right? Yeah? So I struggle with that. So I literally lost my focus due to no intent of my own. It wasn't like I was poking myself in the eye with a stick or something and thought, hey, this will be fun. It was a side effect, and it's a long-term life side effect that I have to deal with. So some days I wake up and everything is fuzzy and out of focus, and I can fix it with a pair of glasses, right? Those of you that wear glasses know that feeling. Sometimes I wake up and my life is fuzzy and out of focus, and I can't fix it with my glasses because I don't have the right prescription. I have 6 I thought would be sufficient. Evidently, I'm going to have to go and have a few more made on days that I'm really blurry and let them try to figure that out. So my question for you then is, what about our faith? Does your faith ever become fuzzy and out of focus? Like, what am I doing? What does God want me to do? What am I supposed to be doing for God? Does he have a calling on my life? Does he not have a calling on my life? Am I supposed to go somewhere in the middle of nowhere as a missionary? Or am I supposed to work in the church, nursery? What am I supposed to do? Anybody ever experience that? Like, just really have no idea what God wants from you? One person. I envy you all. All right? I question what God wants from me sometimes. I work in a Christian school. I work here as the worship director here, and I get to speak on occasion, and I try to help my wife in the nursery when I can, or with her ministry where she's a preschool teacher. It's funny, I teach high school, and now I teach college some, and she teaches preschool, and we both look at each other and go, I don't know how you do that. I relate better with older kids. She relates better with little kids. I guess that's why she married me. Yeah. Funny joke. If you ask her, somebody asks her and doesn't meet her, has never met her before, how many kids you have? Sometimes she says 4. So, me being the 4th, obviously. But seriously, sometimes our call to mission work, our call to ministry, becomes fuzzy. It becomes out of focus. Sometimes we become burnt out because we've done too much, or we've overextended ourselves, and we're trying to change the world by ourselves. Maybe we aren't even relying on God. Maybe we're just going to do it on our own because we have the best ideas, and God's just going to bless us immensely because we're doing it for him, but we don't need him. Anybody ever meet somebody like that? Yeah, I have myself. Sometimes I've been that person. So sometimes it seems like we're trying to do too much, and the world is just spinning out of control, meaning the world of our ministry, our relationship with God, all of those things. So let me ask, by show of hands, and I can see some of y'all here, how many of you volunteer at all in our children's ministry? Anybody volunteer in our children's ministry? A couple hands over there. What about helping with piecemeal? Anybody do that? A couple more hands up there in the balcony, I see. What about folks that have funerals or maybe new births? Anybody ever make a meal for those folks? Or deliver a meal for those folks? Or just go visit those folks? That's definitely a ministry. What about the praise team? Anybody ever volunteer? Why don't I see hands? That's a problem. All right. I need help. So if you like music, come volunteer for the praise team. Right? That's good. How many of you volunteer in our tech booth? Anybody? Hi, Susan. Up top there, right? Now, the problem comes when the same person is raising their hand for all of those things, right? Oh, I do this. Yeah, that's me. Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, I do quilts, too. Quilts are awesome. I love quilts. Oh, but then I'm helping with the painting out here and stuff, and then I got to go. Later, we're going to do something down there afterwards with the youth. And oh, youth group's on Sunday, so I got to help with that. And there's a trip coming up, so I got to do that. And I want to go on the next mission trip down to South America. So anybody ever feel like that? That you want to do everything? Nobody. Come on. Somebody feels like they need to do everything. I feel like I need to do everything sometimes. But the problem is we overcommit ourselves. We end up jumping both feet into everything. And we overdo it. So you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute. Are you actually telling me not to volunteer? Coming from the platform to the congregation, you're telling me not to volunteer. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we should seek God first before we commit to anything, right? Through prayer and petition, we should seek his will in our lives. Because we as humans have a terrible, terrible tendency of losing focus of where God wants us to be. More so than that even, we often just have a hard time saying no. Anybody a pleaser? Anybody hate to disappoint people? So when little Jimmy comes up and says, hey, would you like to come help with this? You're like, no, I wouldn't, but yes, I will. Right? Anybody? Right? No, I wouldn't, but yes, I will. But we leave off the no, I wouldn't part. Oh, yeah, that'd be so much fun. That'd be great. I'll add that to my list. Right? We do that. We overcommit. I have a hard time saying no sometimes. People ask me to do things, and I'm a pleaser. I like to help people. I have a heart for people. And to see the disappointment on their face when I say, I don't really think that I can do that right now, just kills me. It's not necessarily a bad thing to say no. Because if we keep saying yes, and we keep saying yes, and we keep saying yes, we're going to burn ourselves out. We're going to get to the point where we're no use for anybody, particularly God. Because we're going to lose drive, we're going to lose determination, we're going to lose focus on what it is that God wants us to do. And when we burn out, it usually takes a significant period of time to recover from that. And then we're really, really leery to jump back into anything because we know what we just went through. Now, seeking God is paramount in all of this. Through prayer, through sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is telling us we need to do, we can discern oftentimes where God wants us to be in his ministry. Some of us are destined to be missionaries in other countries. I definitely feel that I've been called into that region. Not a full-time position, but to work in other places to help people in need, particularly in Africa, is where I feel God has called my heart. For you, it might be something else. For you, maybe it is the praise team. Maybe that's the one area where you're really involved in church and you love to worship God. And that's where God wants you to be because you're a worshiper. And you're setting that stage, pardon the pun, for his people to follow. So when we seek God first, we put him first, we listen to his call on our lives, we can tend to avoid that burnout. We can tend to avoid that overcommitment. And we can see truly where God wants us to be. Now, most of you have probably read Matthew 4, where Jesus calls his disciples. Right? So Jesus is coming along, walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he comes upon Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And what were they doing? They were doing what they do like every day. They were fishing. And Jesus said what? Hey, come and follow me. All right, that's fantastic. So some strange dude comes walking up to the dock where you're fishing, says, drop everything and come follow me. And you're like, awesome. That's what I want to do, right? That seems really strange to us, does it not? But truth be told, if you dig deeper into Scripture, He wasn't a complete stranger. These men had been around John the Baptist and had heard of the coming Messiah, and they had probably heard of what Jesus had done to this point. So it wasn't like just some strange rabbi comes up and says, hey, come follow me. They had some background information, and they knew that God's hand was on Jesus, and when Jesus invited them, it would have been harder for them to say no than it was yes. And in our mission work, in our ministry work, that's one way you can determine. If it's harder for you to say no than it is for you to say yes, maybe God is calling you into that place. That's where you really need to seek through prayer and through getting into the Word of God, seeing if maybe that's where He is calling you to be. There were other brothers as well that were out fishing, and they did the same thing. They just dropped what they were doing and followed Jesus. It's not that easy for us because, like, Jesus isn't walking down the aisle coming up to the platform and saying, hey, come follow me in the flesh, right? But He's left us instructions. He's left us His word to follow. And as we read God's word, we understand that as we seek God first, we allow Him to guide us in our ministry work. Sometimes He puts us in positions that we feel like, man, this was made for me. Like, this ministry was made for me. God has put me here. I'm a perfect fit. Other times, however, we feel so underqualified, we begin to question whether God really wants us in that role. And sometimes I would argue that those folks are the ones who make the biggest difference for the kingdom, because they don't feel like they're worthy to be in that position. They don't feel like they have the talent or the ability, so they rely more heavily on God to guide them through that. How many of you are active in a ministry? You would say you're active in a ministry. Okay. Those of you that raised your hands will probably agree with the following statements. Those of you that didn't raise your hands, let me refer back to step one, seeking God's guidance, because God has a plan for each and every one of us, and God wants us, as He's called us, through His great commission, that we are all to spread the gospel and the good news, not like three-fifths of you or a half of you or like one out of every 73. He wants us all to be actively spreading His truth. So if you haven't found that place where God has called you yet, maybe it's time to start seeking. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you haven't been saved for that long. Maybe you're not saved yet. Maybe that's where you need to start. But the first thing I really want to just make a statement of is the ministry is work. How many of you that are in a ministry would agree that ministry is work? There is things that have to be done. There is stuff that has to be accomplished. There are roles that have to be filled. I'm not saying that is a bad thing, right? Work is good. Work is rewarding. Work is fulfilling. Ministry is work. In Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's something that God has given us, is that aspect of work within our ministry. I really enjoy my ministry work. I've talked to folks before, other teachers, and I can honestly and truly say that when I wake up in the morning on a school day, I look forward to going to work. I look forward to going to work. I look forward to going and interacting with the students and being able to pray with them and being able to pray for them and sharing the gospel with them. And I look forward to the work that is to be done that day. Ministry is also a responsibility. It is something that is critical that God has placed there for us and put us in a position to accomplish. And in Acts 1:8 it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are called to be witnesses of Christ in our ministry, in our day-to-day walk with Him, in our activity. Whatever it is that we are doing, we are to do it as if we are doing it for God. Lastly, ministry is focus. Right? We can be flailing in the wind of the waves, saying we're doing great things for God, But if we're not really focused on what we're doing, we're really not going to get anything done. And in an article I was reading earlier this week by a man named Albert Mohler, he says, first, there's an inward call on our lives. Through his Spirit, God speaks to those persons he has called to serve as servants and ministers of his church. Martin Luther himself described this inward call as God's voice heard by faith. Those whom God has called know this call by a sense of leading, purpose, and focus. Charles Spurgeon identified the first sign of God's call to the ministry as an intense, all-absorbing desire for the work, and that those called by God sense a growing compulsion to preach and to teach the word and to minister to the people of God. So let me suggest then that instead of serving everywhere and trying to do everything in the church, that instead you seek God's guidance first. Begin to focus on those areas where God wants you to be excellent. And I would argue again that you'll be far more effective in your ministry if you do one or two things with excellence, as opposed to doing five or six things with mediocrity. God doesn't want us to be perfect. He knows we're not perfect people. But he wants our best. And we can't very well give our best if we're so spread out and we're so burnt out because we're doing everything or trying to do everything that we can wrap our hands around and our minds around, because we feel the more I do for God, the better off I'm going to be, the more blessed I'll be, the more rewarding it'll feel. I would argue, truthfully, that if we begin to focus, we begin to really drill down into those areas where God wants us to serve, and if we all, those that didn't raise their hands, if we all focused on that area where God wants us to serve, we would have to begin to create so many new ministries for people to serve in, because the others would all be full. We wouldn't need anybody else up here on the praise team because we already have too many, and there would be so many people making quilts for people in need in the community that we wouldn't need any more quilters and people to provide backpacks to the students who are of low income status. There would be more than enough because we were all doing what God intended for us to do. So I would encourage you tonight, as we close, if the praise team wants to come on back up, to begin to seek God in that ministry. Maybe he's planted a seed in your heart months or years ago and you've just never acted on it. Maybe now's the time to set up a meeting with Pastor and say, hey, Pastor, I really feel that God has called me to this. What do you think? Can you help me discern? Can you help me figure out if this is something that would be good for our church? Maybe you can find something that's already in existence in our church and begin to seek out ways of helping or maybe continuing to grow that ministry. We're taking the month of July off for Piecemeal. We're taking the month of July off for Ignite. Come August, we're going to be jumping back in with both feet. And hopefully before long, we'll be in that new kitchen down there. And I'm sure there'll be hands that will be needed in that kitchen. And like I said, I can always use more folks on my praise team. So look for ways that God has laid before you. And if you need to borrow one of my glasses, feel free to come on up. Maybe it'll help you see a little better than it helps me some days. So let me close with a prayer, and then we'll close with a song. Father, as we seek your word, your will for our lives, help us to understand first who you are and why you've called us. Then let us begin to focus on the details that you lay before us as you lay out the path that you've so eloquently drawn for us. Help us to study your will, your way, your word, that we can truly see where we can be a disciple, where we can be a servant of Christ, being the hands and feet to those in this community, in this state, this country, this world, that are struggling, that don't know you, that are lacking in the faith. Father, help us to see, help us to focus, and help us to be true to who you've called us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.